Welcome to the Embrace Church podcast. We exist as a church to relentlessly reach the next person for Jesus. Wherever you're at today, we hope this message encourages you. Let's jump in.
Well, hey, Embrace. I hope everyone's doing all right so far today. My name is Adam. I'm one of the pastors here. To everyone at our Sertoma campus on the west side, what's up, Sertoma? To all of you here at 57th Street, I can't believe how many of you are here. To everyone at our T campus, that was in the big city of T this last week. The new building there is just looking gorgeous. To all of you men at our Durfee campus, to all of our network churches, to each and every one of you with us online. Lastly, I want to give a specific shout out to the young men who are joining us at McCrossin Boys Ranch. We have partnered with McCrossins for years, and I just see it honestly as a huge honor on our part that we get to be a part of the work that God is doing at McCrossins. Basically, regardless of where you are, I just want to welcome you here. And my hope and prayer today is that somehow, some way, God would come and speak to each and every one of us. Right now, we are in a series going through the book of 2 Samuel. If you have your book, I want to invite you to take it. We're going through 2 Samuel, though. In this book, it follows the life and it follows the story of a guy named David and his family. Now, really quick, I just want to give you some encouragement. If you have attempted to read through this book the last several weeks, and maybe you stopped because it sounded like gibberish, I just want to encourage you and speak courage into you. Go back and find it. Find it in the trunk of your van. Find it on the stack of books on your counter. Take it out and just keep going. If it's confusing, use the notes on the side. If you get to a part that you're like, I have no idea what that's trying to say, welcome to the club. I give you permission. You don't need my permission just to skip over that part, but just keep on going, friends. There's something that happens when we open up the Word of God and we just ask God to speak to us, okay? So David, he goes from being a shepherd boy out in the fields to killing a giant named Goliath to being appointed by God as the king of Israel. And everything is going so well for David and the people of God. Everything is going fantastic. That is until David has an affair. Like, everything is going so well, and then David has an affair, and because he has the affair, he tries to cover it up by having a person murdered, and it looks like David is going to get away with it. I mean, he's the king of Israel. He can get away with it if anybody can. It looks like he's about to get away with it, and yet turns out God sees it all. He saw all of it. And so God confronts David. He confronts him, and David finally fesses up. He finally comes to his senses. He finally admits it, and he confesses his sin before God. And this right here is where we were last week. But before we continue on, I just want to say, I think it'd be so easy to ask the question, so David has an affair and he murders someone, and after he confesses the sin and asks God to forgive him, he's good to go? Like, I think it'd be easy to, like, that doesn't feel right. Like, he has this affair, he kills somebody, confesses it, and now everything's okay? Well, in response, I'll just acknowledge it. A person being forgiven, it doesn't make sense. A person being forgiven, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sound right. Honestly, a person being forgiven, it honestly feels like a scandal. It actually kind of should make us a little bit upset almost. Like, a person being forgiven, that is until the person who needs forgiveness is you. No, it's like, they're forgiven? That's horrible. Until that person is you. Until that person is me. And here's the truth. As we shared last week, just because a person confesses their sin and they're forgiven doesn't mean there won't be consequences. It doesn't mean that they're good to go and they can just move on with their life and there's, you know, everybody just needs to move on forward. No, as we're about to find out with David today, yes, we can be forgiven, but there is always consequences for our sin. We can be forgiven. God promises to forgive us as far as the east is from the west, but there's always consequences from our sin. And so today, we are going to continue on with the story found in 2 Samuel. And just to give you the heads up, it is dark and it's messed up. Honestly, it's jacked up. And once again, in so many ways, what we're about to read is the consequences from David's sins. So at this point that we're getting to today, years have now gone by. And one of David's sons, a guy named Abnon, falls in love with his own sister named Tamar. Did I just mention that this is a little bit messed up and dark, okay? If you ever thought the Bible was filled with perfect people, that's actually a clue. You probably have not read the Bible, okay? And that's not, I'm not calling you out right now. I'm just kind of saying that. Like it's full of like broken, messy people, okay? But Abnon loves Tamar, but she wants nothing to do with him. Is that a shocker? It's like, why? Well, because you're my brother, and that's disgusting. Well, Abnon, and this is heavy, he ends up raping her. Like he does the unthinkable. It's horrendous. And he destroys her life. And this right here, it brings us to our main character that we're going to look at today, another one of David's sons named Absalom. Absalom. And with him specifically today, we are going to highlight three different warnings that we can take away from Absalom's life. Three different warnings that are so critically important for all of us to hear. And honestly, and I thought about it this week, I'm like, these warnings are warnings I need to hear. These are warnings that I want my kids to hear. These are warnings that I want my best friends to hear. I want my parents to hear. Like these are so incredibly important. So important for us to hear. And so at this time, if you have your copy of 2 Samuel, I'm going to invite you to open them up. If you have a physical Bible, the Bible on your phone, I really want to encourage us. Take out your phone, open up your Bible, and we're going to look at chapter 13, starting in verse 22. And if you have your physical copy of 2 Samuel, you can turn to page 66. So Absalom, he finds out about this horrible thing that his brother has done. And in verse 22, here's what we are told takes place. Absalom never said a word to Abnon, either good or bad. He hated Abnon because he had disgraced his sister Tamar. To put it lightly, Absalom is disgusted. He's outraged. I mean, just hatred inside of him towards his brother because of what he did to their sister, and rightfully so. But for 2 years, Absalom's hatred, it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows in him. For 2 years, it just grows to finally the point, Absalom's like, I've had it. No one else is gonna deal with it. I'm gonna deal with it. I'm gonna take care of it. I'm gonna figure this out. Verse 28, Absalom ordered his men, listen, when my brother, the punk, Abnon is in high spirits from drinking wine, and I say to you, strike Abnon down, then kill him. And don't be afraid. Haven't I given you this order? Be brave and strong. So Absalom's men did to Abnon what Absalom had ordered. Again, just to make sure this is really, really clear, Absalom's brother did this horrible thing to their sister. Zero excuses, wrong on every level, truly unimaginable. But in response, though, Absalom, he decides to take things into his own hands. And he decides he's going to get revenge. And out of rage, he ends up having his brother killed. Now, I just got to be honest. I don't feel bad for Abnon whatsoever. You do this to my sister, who I love. I'm tempted to do the exact same thing. It's like, you don't mess with my sister. Here's the problem, though. And it's our first warning today. Here's the problem. Revenge never makes things right. It just creates more wrong. Again, this horrible situation takes place. This brother's outraged at what's happened to his sister, and so he takes it into his hands, but revenge never makes things right. It just creates more wrong. This is so hard. Instead of Absalom talking with his dad about it, who happens to be the king, instead of Absalom going and confronting his brother Abnon about what he's done, instead of Absalom doing anything he possibly can to get his brother thrown into prison, which should have happened, he takes it into his hands. And he just lets the hatred grow and grow and grow and grow. And instead of seeking justice, he seeks revenge. The only problem with revenge is that warning. Revenge never makes things right. Ever. It just creates more wrong. Today, I'm just curious to ask, have you ever had a situation, current or in the past, that you've wanted revenge? If you got a pulse, if you got a heartbeat, I'm just guessing the answer is yes. A time that you've been hurt and you wanted to hurt someone back. A time when something was done bad to you and you so badly wanted to do it right back to them. To get more specific, have you ever had a time where you've been taken advantage of? A time that you've been stabbed in the back, a time that you were lied to, a time that you were abused, a time that you were gossiped about, and you wanted to shove it in the other person's face, and rightfully so. Honestly, they might have deserved it, and then some. Once again, the only problem is revenge never makes things right. It just creates more wrongs. Friends, it just creates more wrongs. Revenge, it brings us to the level of the other person. At least for me, revenge has never delivered. I literally thought about it. It's never, ever delivered what I thought it would deliver when I've actually acted on my revenge. It never satisfies. It never leads me to healing or joy. It doesn't take my pain away. It doesn't lighten the burden that I'm feeling. Honestly, the worst part, revenge, it just ends up hurting us. Something terrible has happened towards us, and we've let that something terrible to continue to hurt us over and over and over again, and slowly it kills us from the inside out. And just to be so clear about something, revenge is very different than justice. Justice is all about making things right, where again, revenge is all about making things more wrong. Justice is about treating people fairly. It's about holding another person accountable, which is so critically important, where revenge is about hurting people and hoping that another person suffers. To be so clear, our God is a God of justice. He's all about justice. He's not just all about it. He's actually the basis, the foundation of where all justice comes from. And so our God is a God of justice, but he is never, ever behind our revenge. He's never behind our revenge. Something to note, though, God actually says that vengeance is his. Which is such a comforting thing to know in some places, and then it's honestly, a fearful thing to know in others. Our God promises us that he is, and maybe not in our life, but he will make all things right. He is, and he will make all things right. So Absalom, he kills his brother. And he runs away. Years later, Absalom, he ends up coming back, but his relationship with his dad, the king, is broken. His relationship with David, it's not good, and Absalom is bitter towards him, and his hatred and anger just grows, and so Absalom, he decides that he's going to begin to undermine his dad. He's going to undermine his own father, who is the king. Picking up our story here is what we are told. And all of Israel, there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. If you're shallow like me, it's like, God, not even a freckle? Not even like a birthmark on his rear end? Nothing? Okay, he's perfect. Okay, I'm depressed now, God. Whenever he, Absalom, cut the hair of his head, he used to cut his hair once a year because it became too heavy for him. He would weigh it. That's weird. And its weight was 200 shekels by the royal standards. As the cool kids like to say it, Absalom has riz, okay? He's got riz. Cool kids, did I say that correctly? My kids last night, they said, Dad, it's not the riz, it's just riz. I'm like, okay, that's an important distinction. He's got riz. Honestly, I'll just confess it. Verses like this just kind of annoy me. It's like, okay, God, we get it. He's a very beautiful man, okay? We get it. He's very beautiful. He's perfect. Enough, okay? Continue on, though, with the story. In the course of time, Absalom would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king, his dad David, for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king, my dad David. There's no representative of him to hear you. That's unfortunate for you." And Absalom would add, If only I, my dad's there, you're probably not going to be able to talk to him, but if only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone would have a complaint or case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice. My dad won't do it, the king won't do it, but I can figure it out for you. Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take a hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way towards all Israelites who came to the king, his dad, asking for justice. And so he, Absalom, stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Again, Absalom and his dad, they had this broken relationship. And so slowly over time, Absalom's going to undermine his dad. And so Absalom, like the sly dog he is, he just happens to be right by that city gate. And so anytime that anyone and everyone has a complaint against the king, he's just right there. He's just right there waiting. "Who are you? Oh, you got a complaint? I hear your complaint. Oh, you're upset with the king? Yeah, you're probably not going to have a chance to talk to him, but I'm willing to listen to you. And if I was the king instead of my dad, I would do everything I possibly could to make sure you got justice, because your complaint is very understandable. It makes 100% sense, and I would do anything that I possibly could do." Don't miss this. Slowly over time. Again, listen to this last line. Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel, and what they could have added at the end there, away from his dad. Away from his dad. Friends, let's just call it what it is. Absalom is a snake. He's a fox in the hen house, right? And he might appear to be the kindest fella. He just is always so willing to listen. He's always so quick to validate me. He appears to be the greatest human being ever. The truth is, he is a son of a fill in the blank. You know what I mean? Friends, there's so much I want to say. Here's our second warning. This is so important. Undermining others is conniving, not kind. Let me say that again. Looking at Absalom's life, this is so important to understand. Undermining others is conniving, not kind. Seriously, for all of us in these moments, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. You might sound nice and you might appear to be the kindest person ever. And yet when you are intentionally trying to undermine another person, you're conniving. That's like the ugliest, call me any, like, do you have to use, like, any other word? Could you pick? No, when you're in this place and you do this, you're conniving. Same is true for me. Conniving. I just want to say it one more time because it's just so important. In this place, when you and I do this, you and I, we're conniving. Some examples. It's telling your coworker, "Yeah, our boss is clueless. I mean, I would never say that to you. And I see so many gifts that you have that are being totally unused. If I was the boss, I would have given you a promotion a long time ago. And your husband doesn't like to listen to you. Your husband is always busy with his job. Your husband never ever tells you that you're good looking. You're my favorite part of the day. I can't wait to speak to you. I honestly, I'm just kind of nervous right now. What? Because you're so beautiful. You deserve more than that. You're gorgeous. I can't." Or that person that you're jealous of. Because let's be honest, conniving, it usually starts with two things: bitterness or jealousy, right?
More ugly words. You know, it's like, stop with the ugly words. They said that to you? I can't believe it. She did that? I would never, ever, ever do that to you. I promise. Friends, don't be this person. And one step further, don't listen to this person either. Don't even listen to them. Why? Because newsflash, if they're conniving, they're not looking out for you. They're not concerned about your benefit and what's good for you. They're looking out for themselves. If they'll throw someone else under the bus, they'll throw you under the bus. This is evil. Undermining others is conniving, not kind. Okay, so Absalom, he ends up winning over the hearts of all the people, so much so that he now has his own army. It's like, what? How is this possible? And now he's trying to overthrow his dad to take over as king, just to acknowledge it. Sometimes I feel like my third grade son is trying to do the same with me, you know? Lately, I've been feeling that. I'm like, I feel like there's a coup developing around me to try to overthrow me. Anyways, jumping ahead, chapter 18. So much has happened that we're skipping over here. But there's now a battle that's about to take place between Absalom's army and David's army. And in chapter 18, verse 6, we're told this. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There, Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great. 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. So Absalom's army and David's army, they're in this forest fighting this huge battle. And then in verse 9, we're told this. Now, Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule, this is so important, don't miss this. As the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, this is the important part, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. And then this last verse here, 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Okay, so just a pause here. Do you remember earlier when we talked about Absalom and how he was the most handsome man in all of Israel, and specifically was his hair? He only cut it one time a year. Blah, 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 blah. Hair's overrated, right? Remember that part? This is so crazy. One of the main things that Absalom used to undermine his dad was his charisma, wasn't it? It was his handsome self, his good looks, and specifically his hair. And now this exact thing is what catches him up into a tree. Literally, it's the very thing that catches him up. Don't miss this. This is our third warning. So important. Charisma without character will catch up with you. Literally. Charisma without character will, not maybe, will catch up with you. Again, Absalom, he's so smooth and he's good looking, and there's no doubt that he has all kinds of charisma, yet the one thing that he has lacked throughout his life is character. All kinds of charisma, little character. Just to say it again, charisma without character will catch up with you. And I just want to highlight this. This is the one thing that separates David from his son Absalom. As we're told, both David and his son, they're both good looking. They both have charisma. They both make huge, huge moral mistakes. And yet the one thing that sets them apart, every time David makes mistakes, what does he do? He runs right back to the Lord. Every time he screws up, he runs back to God. He confesses his sin. He acknowledges it every single time. He goes and he restarts his relationship with God, relying on him, but Absalom doesn't. Both have charisma, goodly looks. Both have made mistakes, but unlike his dad, Absalom lacked character, and charisma without character Friends, it will. It will catch up with you. Just to bring this to us, maybe like me, you're here and you'd say, well, gosh, I'm not the best looking dude on the planet. Don't really have a huge, like a whole bunch of charisma. Like I only, honestly, jokingly, I'm like, I only wish I had half a fraction of the good looks that Absalom has. But I want to expand this though to any sort of giftedness, any talents or expertise that you have, experience, status, position, a title. Anytime that we have any of this broad sense of the word charisma, anytime we have any of this, which I argue we all have, anytime we have this gift, this expertise, this income level, this position without character, without fully dependent on God, it will catch up with us. It will. This week I was thinking about it and I was like, I only wish that I could go back to my 20-year-old self. Honestly, I would go back to my mid-30-year-old self. And I just wish I could just say, listen here, buddy, and I'd probably need to use a little bit of sarcasm so I actually heard it. Listen here, buddy, if there's any part of you that thinks that you are God's gift to the world, if there's any part of you that thinks that you are a hotshot, if there's any part of you that thinks you know everything about anything, what I wish I'd go back and just say, that's all great, Weber. Character, 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 character. But don't you know? Character, character, character. But I got this gift. Character, 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 character. I only wish. For all of us, I'm curious to ask, are you spending more time building your business than you are your character? Are you spending more time building your influence than your character? Spending more time growing your bank account than your character? Your Instagram following than your character? Maybe even your physical body than your character? I'm just saying, if so, be so careful that your hair doesn't get caught up in the tree. Just be so careful. Be just so careful. Why? Because charisma without character, it will catch up with you. Isn't that true? This week, all week long, it's just like, Lord, would you please protect me from myself? Would you please protect us from ourselves? Or would you just guard us? Would you be so quick to confront us? Would you be so quick to put mirrors in front of our faces so that we can see ourselves properly? So from here, Absalom, he dies and David's army wins the battle. And David is now fully back in control. And yet, if you've read the rest of the story, after the battle, David is sobbing. He's sobbing so loud that his own warriors on his team can hear him crying. Why? Because David has lost yet another one of his sons. And once again, this David's been forgiven years earlier. But in so many ways, there's just this continued fallout, this continued consequences from his earlier mistakes. Today, though, what can we learn by looking at Absalom? Like, what are these warnings that we can just take to heart? Revenge never makes things right, just creates more wrong. Undermining others is conniving. Don't kid yourself. It's not kind. Charisma without character, at some point, it will catch up with you. And so, friends, today, my simple question, which of these three warnings is God just like this? Like, my son, my daughter, it's this one. Which of these three warnings do you need to hear? And maybe it's two, maybe it's all three, but which one do you need to take to heart? And then my hope and my prayer is by the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. We got thick hearts and thick skulls sometimes. Somehow, some way, would take these warnings and he'd sow them in our souls. But we wouldn't just hear about them and, gosh, that kind of sounded cool. No. We'd implement them into our lives, into our hearts, that these warnings would be so evident to us. That instead of following the steps of Absalom, we would learn from those steps and we'd take a different path. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before you so thankful. And we thank you specifically that you are a Father who cares. You give us these warnings, not because you're a killjoy, not because you want us to be miserable, not because of whatever. You do so because you love us as your sons and your daughters, and you only want what's best for us. And so God, today, again, by your Holy Spirit, because sometimes we just can't get it. We just can't get it into our souls, Lord. Would you just come and speak to us? And you would just kind of throw up the flag of just like, oof, just danger over here, warning over here. Stay as far as you possibly can from here. Lord, for any of us that need to maybe make an action step, again, maybe talk with a friend, a mentor, maybe a parent of ours who loves the Lord, whatever it might be, would you help us to have the courage to make that step as well, that phone call, that coffee appointment, that therapist appointment, whatever it is, Lord, that we would take the steps. We want to run this race so well. We want to keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. At the end of our lives, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'd love to have you join us in person at one of our locations. You can find out more at iamembrace.com.